From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio on WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, this is ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
This from 40. Jairo Santos. Wow. No good from 40. Wide left. Second and five. Ball is on the ground. That's recovered by Baltimore. The Ravens come up with the takeaway. Now here's a pass. A little double screen to Mooney, who breaks free. And he got it away from two defenders. And it takes Andy Dalton two plays to get the Bears into the end zone. Last play of the third. Oh, they get him again. The fifth time in this game. They drop him for a sack. Over 5 minutes, they're on the 18-yard line. How about that? And now they're back at their own 14-yard line with a sixth sack of the day. Second down with a little added degree of difficulty. 46 yards for Tucker for the lead. Put on the hold, and the kick is good.
You're right. You can see the wings. That was pure, and it still was moving.
One guy's going to come scot-free inside.
Dalton from the pocket. Wide open is good. Makes a catch. And that Bears strike a fourth and 11. Out of this world. There are flags down. And it might be a roughing call. Second pass interference penalty today on Bildor. Now the minute 25 to go. Wide open. Duvernay. And the Bears. Well, sleeping a bit here on that play.
Robinson going for it. But right here, Roquan's going to have to go get him because he's probably got to move around a little bit.
Pressure's coming. Greg is providing it. The pass is caught by Watkins at the 4-yard line. What a play by Huntley.
Ravens have been incredible all year in the red zone. Let's see if they can do it again.
They hand it off. It's Freeman, and he's across for the touchdown. What a drive by Baltimore.
Totally saw that coming, didn't you? The rookie, or the second-year player, he was just going to take him right down like he was in his sleep.
Yeah, Tyler Huntley right down the field. Second straight week. Yeah. Bears score late only to see the defense give it up. I mean, they gave up only 16, but we can't let them off the hook because that game was there for the taking. And we'll blame the offense plenty, too, and rightfully so, for just 13 points scored. Let's blame the special teams. You had a block punt. You had a missed 40-yarder. Now they ruined Jairo Santos, making try at 65-yarder.
Well, they did. You knew that. Yo, 40 in a row, and then he missed the 65-yarder, and then he comes back, and it's just like duck hook left.
I hated that third down play call, too, on that opening drive. They were moving the ball down the field beautifully. They get into third and five. I didn't like the play call. Went nowhere. Then they missed the field goal. Khalil Herbert ran the ball once.
The third five was a little sweep to Montgomery.
It was a little toss.
That
right
nine
to
jumped. The linebacker jumped. He noticed it. He saw it. He recognized what was happening. Yep. And the center and the backside guard were the ones that comboed up to him. They never had a chance once he knew what the play was.
No.
You saw him cheat, jump. Nobody's deciding to block him when he's in that position because he cheated over. You know, he was playing probably about 3, 4, 5 yards out of position with momentum, and he shut the whole play down. And I thought, like, if they didn't lose those 6 yards, might that field goal have gone in because it was hooking left like that? Mm. It would have had a chance to actually be good, but yep. So what happens when you make silly decisions.
Yeah, I don't, and I love Monty. I mean, and he ran the ball effectively.
Right,
I don't know why.
Made a great play.
I don't know why Herbert touched the ball once either. I mean, you've got these weapons now, right? I mean, like, this is what I just continue to I'm flabbergasted by some of Matt Nagy's decision-making, by some of the game planning, the game script. I know it's laser, I guess, now calling the plays, but, you've got these running back weapons. Like, why don't you use them a little bit more? I mean, why does Herbert touch the ball once when he seemingly is a weapon for you? I mean, like, can you imagine if Kyle Shanahan looked at the two running backs that the Bears have, the kind of creativity and the things he would – I mean, by the way, did you see who ran the ball for them yesterday? Deebo Samuel ran the ball all game. The wide receiver.
That's what they had to do.
He had like nine carries or something
the last 2 weeks, man. He's their best running back.
That's the way it works.
I mean, like, they get creative and they're smart. And, you know, I mean, like, and what are the Bears doing? You can't move the ball. They ran 57 plays. They had it for 20 minutes for crying out loud. They scored 13 points.
Eight carries for 79 yards for Deebo. Jeff Wilson, 19 carries for 50 yards. Yeah. Sermon, 10 for 32. Garoppolo,
Sermon
two.
Finally got going here.
And Lance got three plays where he ran for four. Trey Lance, three for four plays. So yeah,
they ran roughshod over the Jags.
Seems like they had a ton of yardage. Yes, they did. God, the Jacksonville Jaguars, one good week, one bad week. That's the way it is.
They're not very good.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. I don't worry about them. Like my Indianapolis team, Carm.
Your Indianapolis team now, man. I'm telling you.
What are they for winning the Super Bowl? They might be worthy of a play.
For the Super Bowl, I'll tell you this, that Jonathan Taylor is now 16-1. He's the first non-quarterback listed, obviously, for MVP. Now, he's still 16-1.
Yeah.
Brady's your favorite at plus 250. Dak is your second choice at 5.5-1. Josh Allen is 6.5-1. Stafford is 7-1. And your reigning MVP, Aaron Rodgers, is 8-1. Mahomes is 10-1. Yeah. There's no clear-cut favorite here. Right. I know Brady's... plus 250. Did I say that? I hope I said that.
Yes,
right.
You did.
But, yeah, Brady's plus 250. But I don't know, man. Good luck finding an MVP right now in this Mishigash.
Well, that's why Jonathan Taylor might not be a bad pick.
16-1.
Yeah.
It's just a tough award for running backs to win these days.
It is. But if you get 2,000 yards and 20-some-odd touchdowns, they can't ignore you.
You're probably right, Yerk.
Let's hit the phones, Carm.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Doing that, I'll tell you what the Colts are for the Super Bowl, too.
All right, thank you. Matt in Streamwood. Matt, what's going on, kid? The Bears are awful. They were yesterday.
Hey, Yurko. Hey, Carm. Thanks for taking my phone call. Yurko, I was confused. In that second quarter, under 2 minutes, I remember the Ravens, they were allowed to do offensive substitutions that the Bears could not adjust. Is that correct? They're allowed to do that because it's under 2 minutes in the second and fourth quarter?
Yes, the official came on, Gene Steratore, and explained that under 2 minutes in a hurry-up offense that you don't get a chance. They won't stand over the ball and allow the Bears to substitute.
Is that a rule when you played New York?
No, that wasn't a rule when I played at all.
Okay.
No, that was not a rule when I played. But Steratore came on and explained it because Tony Romo seemed to be lost on it, too.
Yes. Is that something that they changed more recently?
I think it's a recent change, yes.
Okay.
You know, with the offensive coaches in the league and the competition committee talking about, hey, in a hurry-up offense, if I want to change out a guy, you can't make me wait and kill my, you know, with no timeouts, kill my opportunity to score.
So that's
the change that they ended up making. I learned that yesterday, too, Carm. It's not like I knew that yesterday.
I mean, like you said, Romo was confused by it a little bit. Steratore, to Yurko's point, did come on and clarify.
Yes.
I wonder when that rule was officially changed. Maybe we should look that up. All right, who else, Yurk, is ready to rock and roll?
Let's go. We need to get Maddie off then from Streamwood. Let's go to Aaron in Tinley Park. Aaron, welcome aboard, kid.
How's it going, fellas? Hey, you answered a couple of my questions just about the charts, and do the coaches typically have their game plan, or most coaches, I should say, have their game plan already figured out? And I agreed with you with what you guys had to say in that regard, via Matt Nagy's dropping the ball. But I guess if I'm going to say something else, my issue is some of the decision-making with adding personnel. I don't know why we thought this Jakeem Grant guy would be the truth as far as a returner, but I haven't seen anything that made me think it was worth giving up a draft pick. And the last thing I'll say, and then I'll hang up and listen, I was so relieved, I guess, when we lost yesterday, because the look on Virginia McCaskey's face when we scored that go-ahead touchdown made me think we got one more year of Nagy now, and I don't think that's the case anymore. So thanks, guys. Great show.
Thank you, Aaron. Yeah, nobody. That's terrible, isn't it, when you get to this time of year and it's like, well, does it really matter if they win or lose? And it maybe is better for the cause because it'll force them to change a little bit. What really sucks is that the Bears are trending for a top 10 pick and they don't have it.
Number six right now, Carl.
Yeah, number six. They send that pick to the Giants.
To New York football Giants, guys.
Giants are feeling frisky and they're feeling good. Fields, I don't think Fields will play with a rib injury, obviously, this week, because it is a short week.
Yeah.
I also don't think there should be any quarterback controversy whatsoever, and that is not any sort of declaration about how good or how bad Justin Fields is, but you might as well continue to see and let him try to develop. The Bears are back to where they've always been, looking for a franchise quarterback. I don't know if it's going to be Justin Fields or not. I have no idea. I hope so. I think there are some moments that we can see where we say, yeah, there's a chance. I think there are so many things that have to be cleaned up, and they're only going to get cleaned up if he plays. Does he, you know, are we seeing some of the same problems we saw with Mitch sometimes, not knowing where to go with the ball? Yeah, we're seeing it. The fumbles have to stop. This is Danny Dimes stuff. This is nine fumbles and eight starts.
Yep.
Nine fumbles. I mean, come on. The fumbles have to stop. Listen, stop putting the ball on the ground.
You didn't have to make a decision on Trubisky till after year three. You're going to have to do the same thing with Justin Fields in year three.
I know.
So I don't judge Justin Fields yet.
Yerk,
I don't either.
I
have to.
I'm with you. I don't either. But it's like the Bears are back to where they've always been, and that's looking for a franchise quarterback. And why?
Right.
When healthy. Again, I don't think he'll play this week because if it's a short week and the rib injuries are brutal.
Yeah.
But when he's healthy, there's no reason Andy Dalton should be playing for this team. None whatsoever. All there's not one good, compelling argument that could be made for Andy Dalton playing on a 3-7 Bears team.
All right, Q on the south side. Welcome aboard, kid. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. How you doing? First time, long time.
Thanks, welcome aboard.
All right. I just want to know what you guys thought of this because yesterday, I don't want to see Justin play for this coach anymore. Yesterday, first drive, 3rd and 5. He gives the rinky-dink pitch to Montgomery. I mean, you're trying to save your season, and that's the kind of plays you're calling. And I think that ticked Justin off. If you look at the next series, I mean, he's throwing some angry balls. I don't think this is the coach for us, and I'd just like to see him gone.
I don't want him anywhere near Justin Fields going forward either, Q. I agree with that.
Carmen does agree with you. He does not want to see
it. They're going to make a change. I mean, they have to. Yeah, this is spiraling out of control here.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they'll lose this week either. I mean, Detroit's awful. And I don't know if people were able to see.
You hope not.
Oh, my God. I mean, if they go to Detroit and lose, I mean.
Oh, Friday's show is going to be a nightmare.
Would they do? And Yurko and I are working Friday.
We'll be here Friday, guys.
Yurko and I will be there.
We'll be here Friday for hopefully what's not a mess.
Well, could they do something they never done? I mean, if they lose six in a row and lose to the Lions on Thanksgiving in front of a national audience, like Tim Boyle,
brutal.
Could they?
That's brutal. All right. I mean, they could.
Could they make a change?
They could do. I don't think the Bears are going to make a change. They've never done it in the history of the franchise. I don't think they're going to change that now. Hey, let's shoot out to Patrick in Chicago. Patrick, welcome aboard, kid.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
What's up, Patrick?
I agree with that last caller. We need to sit Fields down for the rest of the season, not because of his performance. He has enough on the plate that he's seen some good defenses, and he just needs to just chew on that for a while. He's not going to see nothing different from the rest of the season.
Oh, you want him to process everything then. That's what you're looking for him to process it.
And I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Patrick. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I don't know why people are surprised because, you know, we got the franchise quarterback. And we have the receivers, but that defense, we had 3 years after Parkey missed that field goal is to find an offense to go with that defense. I figured by now the defense is old and someone will probably take money and go other place. So, I mean, we don't have that defense anymore, and people have that in their mind. That's what they want, and we don't have that.
Well, it's not the 18 defense. I also don't know, Patrick, that we have a franchise quarterback. You can't say that yet. You have no idea. We all hope. That's all. And that's why I think he should continue to play, even though Matt Nagy and Bill Lazor are calling plays. He needs to continue, not just to sit and look from the sidelines and study in the film room. He needs to see these things happening on the field so he can hopefully get better, so he can learn where to go with the ball, how quick the game is moving. Where I mean, that there's still too much holding on to the ball. There's still too much indecision. This is the kind of stuff that you'd like to see him get cleaned up. And if he can do more of it now while there's time left in the season for him to do it, he should do it. Yurk, let's play some Matt Nagy when we come back. As he addressed the media this morning, and I guess the end was slightly terse and unpleasant, as Matt Nagy is left to sort of defend the job he's done or failed to do here in Chicago. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
Did you miss some Carmen and Yurko? You don't have to miss anything. Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Play some Matt Nagy sound here in just a second. It's Carmen and Yurko on a Bears Monday. Hope everyone's having a great day and had a nice weekend despite the Bears loss. Quick turnaround, right back at it on Thursday for Thanksgiving. Yurko and I will be working Friday, so we'll be in recapping that game.
We will be working Friday, Carm. I'll be here with bells on. I'll bring some stuffing, all right?
And, oh, I love
it.
Thanks,
my mom's stuffing, dude. And that's the real stuff. Dude. There ain't no gray area.
I can't wait. And I'll bring in a little leftover sweet potato pie if we have any left. My famous sweet potato pie, my bourbon maple syrup sweet potato pie. So we'll have a feast of our own on
Wednesday's
Friday.
Show, of course, we give advice for the...
And you're driving.
For the birds. Oh, Wednesday's the time I drive again?
Yeah, you're going to drive on Wednesday.
Now, this is more than once this year, Carm. I'm getting a little upset. It used to be special when I drove on Wednesday.
When was the other time you drove?
I drove earlier this year.
Well, when I was gone or something?
Yes.
Well,
they put the good kid to driver's seat, Carm.
You're a hell of a driver, kid.
Yeah, you're a hell of a mensch.
I recall it. It was a White Sox playoff game. You had an appearance.
Remember that, Carm?
That's right. I was driving out too.
I was working till 12:35.
You were so infuriated, Carm, you had to call in. Because you were like,
I went scorched earth policy on the White Sox
fans. He did. He pissed off all the White Sox fans. Yurk, you can get your Colts. Now, Yurko didn't pick the Colts to win the Super Bowl. We both picked the Packers, but Yurko picked the Colts to win the AFC.
Right.
PointsBet does not have that wager up right now. For the Super Bowl, they're 25-1. So
kid, I might take him at 25-1.
25-1 right now.
Yeah, that's not a bad bet. 25-1, $25, $625. I'll take that.
I cashed on the Colts yesterday +7. I was happy about that. 2-0 in the odds, couple best plays. Mike went 2-1, so a 4-1 weekend for the odds couple, just giving out
80%
money.
80% clip, Carmen.
That's what we've done all season long for everybody.
You've been on a tear.
I'm on a tear. I don't know.
I think Mikey's 22-21-1.
Something like that. I'm 20-6 in the best plays.
I got you.
And I'm leading the media pool that we're in where we have to pick 5 games a week against the spread. I've got a very narrow lead on Cap, but I'm 36-19 against the number.
Well, quit giving Cap your picks.
I haven't the last couple
weeks.
Every
Friday, the guy's grilling you on who do you like.
I keep feeling like at some point here, what's going to happen? Because I've just been on fire this year. I don't know. But you can't get too high because...
Hey, can we give a shout-out? Remember the young lady that I wanted to get in here as a guest that plays for the Washington soccer team?
Yes.
Trinity Rodman?
Yes.
She won the Rookie of the Year. She also, their team won the, I think the Washington Spirit won the championship over the Chicago Red Stars, I believe. Are they the Red Stars, the female team here? Chicago Red Stars.
Yes, the Red Stars.
Yeah, so I wanted to get Trinity in here. She couldn't make it. We want to have her on as a guest. So just throw congratulations out there to Trinity Rodman and that squad.
It's Dennis's daughter, correct?
Yes, it is. Yeah. And congratulations go out to the Chicago Red Stars who made the championship game.
Awesome. I love
it. So just wanted to mention that before we move on.
Here's Matt Nagy today asked about the job he's done this year and how he can defend the job he's done now that the Bears sit at 3-7.
The only thing that I and we can do, right, is keep playing and keep coaching and keep doing everything we can to win. That's it. You know what I mean? So you're right. We want to win every game. But we got to understand how we're getting calloused right now. And at the same point in time, you stick to your core values, which is just believing in one another and continuing to fight. That's all we can do. You know, and that's what I know this team will do.
Getting calloused, please. 3-7, getting calloused. Scoring 15 points a game.
It doesn't make any sense. You got to find ways to win games. That's all I want. Win games. You were winning 2 games, and you found a way to lose. That's a problem.
Are they going to lose on Thursday to the 0-9-1 Lions?
I don't think so. That's what I'm worried about.
0-9-1, boys.
The Bears are actually, this will only be the third time all year they're a favorite. They were a favorite against Cincinnati, and they were a favorite in the first meeting against Detroit. They won both those games and covered both those games. I can't see them losing to Tim Boyle. I'm sorry. And I haven't gone back and watched that whole game yet. I will at some point in the next couple of days on Game Pass. I saw what I saw in Red Zone. Poor Baker. I mean, listen, I've never been the world's biggest Baker fan, and I'll give him credit because I think he's a tough SOB, and I think he's really playing hurt, but my God. And it just reiterates that just the same way the Bears had to move on from Mitch, they're going to be pressed into action with Baker. They're going to have to move on from Baker because you can't pay him.
You sound like Mrs. Mayfield, poor Baker.
You just can't.
Poor Baker.
Well,
you see
I do.
Instagram post?
He's terrible.
You see her Instagram post?
No, I did not, actually.
Oh, she was lauding his toughness.
I will say, the kid's tough. I'll give him that. Now, every football player's tough. I mean, or at least they should be. But and the kid is tough. I'll give it to him. But my God, he's just not very good. And when he's hurt and forced to play, he goes from being like not very good, or he goes from being, I guess, like an average quarterback to being pretty awful.
Yes.
Let's face it. And so whatever I did see yesterday when that game popped on from time to time on Red Zone, the whole thing looked terrific. It's... Baker looked terrific. Tim Boyle looked terrific. So, no, I can't see even this version of the Bears, even with Andy Dalton, going into Detroit and losing. I don't think so.
I think she was defending her hubby with more fervor than Tony Rizzo did last week. And it's always problematic. It's unfortunate for spouses, but it's a lose-lose proposition.
Lose-lose.
If you go on social media and agreed. Start, you know, lashing out against fan bases that might be, you know,
Patrick Mahomes' significant other does that,
yes,
too. She'll
yes.
come on them.
Yeah.
Good news for her is her hubby is Patrick Mahomes, so right. there's not yeah, a whole lot of downside.
It's like when Giselle did it for Tom Brady. It's like, yeah, well, it's Tom Brady, so there's not too much downside on that. But when you're Baker, and make no mistake, I mean, I've been saying it for quite some time, there's just no way the Browns could pay Baker Mayfield. Certainly not pay him in excess of $25, $30 million a year. They'd be insane. They'd rue that the way the Rams
the number's 35 to 40. Hey, it's 35 to 40 million now.
Yeah, there's just no
way.
That's
the number, Carm.
I wouldn't pay him more than I don't think you could pay him more than 20, and I don't know that he's going to stay there for, like Yurko always says, guys will take less on a different team. You know, Mitch Trubisky was never taking $2 million
for
the Bears.
No, not from the Bears. No.
You know,
but somewhere
Mitch
else,
Trubisky,
maybe.
Somewhere else, you know, you're sort of forced to. And so the way the Bears had to make a decision, you just couldn't afford to pay Mitch. I think Cleveland's going to be in the same boat. You can't pay Baker Mayfield.
Hey, let's head out to the phone lines, Carm, if you will. You ready?
Yeah, do it.
Cody in South Bend. Welcome aboard, kid.
Thank you, Carm. I love you so much for yesterday, man. I had to sweat it out with that Minnesota.
It made us sweat a little, but it hit. Thank goodness.
Oh, thank you again. Do you think the Bears lost a little bit? I mean, not a little bit, a lot of leadership because of these flags and these calls and just not being the right coverage. It does fall a little bit on the coaching, but do you not think that they lost leadership in the locker room? Because most times when teams lose leadership, they act out. This Bears ain't really acting out, but do you think they just lost leadership where nobody owns up to what they do?
I don't know. Yurk, what do you think? Cody, thanks.
Oh, I don't know, Carm.
It's hard to know what's going on in that locker room. We're not there.
Yeah, I mean, literally, the dynamic of the locker room depending upon the leadership, it's hard to know because, listen, Khalil Mack, who was on the sidelines yesterday, might have a firm grip of what's happening in there. One of the offensive linemen might be a true leader and have a firm grip on what's happening inside there. If there was truly fractures in that locker room, we'd know about it. People would know about it.
Probably. Usually leaks out, right?
If they didn't believe in the coaching staff, they didn't believe in what was going on there, it would be out there. Somebody would be disgruntled. Somebody would share it with somebody. Yeah. And then it would spread like wildfire. So,
yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. I mean, that's just hard to put a finger on without actually being there.
I don't know that lack of leadership or disgruntled players is their biggest problem anyway. I mean, I think coaching is a problem. I think lack of depth and talent is a problem. I think coaching's the biggest problem, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, the penalty with the first play out of halftime. Yeah, first play out of halftime.
In your building, out of halftime, first play, false start.
And again, that's on the players there. But at some point, it's over and over and over and over again. Okay, something's not being coached right. You know, something's not being... At the end of the day, it all rests upon Matt Nagy. And I like to blame the players when things go bad on the football field. It's the players' fault. Okay? But when it keeps happening over and over again, eventually it comes in points toward the head coach, and then you've got to make a change. Let's go to Joey G in Melrose. Joey G, welcome aboard, kid.
Yeah, how are you?
Welcome up, aboard.
I got to agree with you there, Yurk, about the locker room. But I watched a game yesterday, and I thought I saw at least two or three brutal hits on Justin Fields, no call. If it was Brady or Aaron Rodgers, I think the flag would have been thrown. And two, I can't believe I woke up this morning, and he's still the head coach.
Well, they're not going to fire him. They've never fired a coach during the regular season. It's not what the Bears do.
No, they never have. If they lose Thursday, Friday could be slightly interesting, but I don't think they will. And I don't know. Meller just said it. I don't think Meller was being... I mean, you're asking a serious question, right, Meller? Like, could they possibly lose on Thursday?
Listen, here's the... You're right. Tim Boyle certainly is not going to scare anybody.
Geez.
But the truth is, it's not like Jared Goff is playing at a level where when he's out there, he's doing anything better. This is more an argument against with what the Bears have done lately. If they're starting Andy Dalton, sure, he's more competent. But like Dan Campbell at times has gotten the Lions up. And DeAndre Swift, you know, if you keep it close, he can make some game-breaking plays.
He had a big game, that's true.
Like, if they keep it close enough, I could see a scenario where the Lions, because they've been motivated by Dan Campbell for one game on national television on Thanksgiving, wow. I could see a scenario where if the Bears don't show up, they lose this one. They're not beating any... Like, heck, we just saw it. They lost to Tyler Huntley. I mean... I'm not putting anything, you know, past the Bears these days.
You would hope that cream would rise to the top. You would hope they would play well against Detroit. But it's a home game for Detroit. Let me tell you what's circled on Detroit's calendar. This game against the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, they never play well on Thanksgiving anymore, though.
This game against the Chicago Bears, if there's one chance at taking the donut hole off, and they're looking at this game specifically to be the game. Nobody's getting healthier for the Chicago Bears, right? Nobody's getting healthier.
And you wouldn't think in 3 days that you think Eddie Jackson, Akeem Hicks are going to be.
No, Allen Robinson. What about A-Rob?
I mean, is he really going to be motivated to get back out on the field these days?
No, that's what I mean. Like on a short week.
When A-Rob leaves the Chicago Bears this year, it'll be like he got furloughed. He'd be the happiest man in the world when he leaves the Chicago Bears this year. He's got a $17.2 million. It was guaranteed the minute he accepted the franchise tender. He's going to be fresh as a daisy when he leaves here. And he's going to go to somebody else. And he's going to, I don't know what he's going to get. I don't want to predict what he's going to get. But he's going to get a contract for somebody for some good money to be a receiver for them. If it's up in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, wherever it is, he'll go someplace and he'll make his money, but he'll be out of Chicago. And he's not going to settle for big money. And not a quarterback anymore.
No,
he wants to go someplace where you got a quarterback to get him the ball.
The Lions have lost four straight on Thanksgiving, and since 2000, the Lions are 6-15 on Thanksgiving. I mean, like I know you say they get up for this game, but the Lions are the Lions.
But this is Dan Campbell. They at times have played very hard for him.
I agree with you.
Yes.
I don't disagree with that, Meller. I'm just saying they're still the Lions.
The best team doesn't always win. Yeah. The best team doesn't always win.
If they lose Thursday, my God. Yeah. I might call Merkin on Thursday night and say I'm not coming to work on Friday.
You may need to be here because if they fire Nagy,
committed.
Jesus.
That's the only way they fire Nagy.
I changed my mind, Merk. Find somebody to work on Friday. If they lose to the Lions, come on. I mean, I can't. If you lose, they lose to Tim Boyle in 3 days, we're going to go nuts. 312-332-3776. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
The Boo Birds were out. The Fire Nagy chant at Soldier Field yesterday. At what point in the game was that, Meller? Meller was at the game.
That was at the end of the game. That was
at the end of the game.
As, you know, the final drive was occurring, it started, and then I think when the final whistle had picked up again. Not the first time either, because I recall when the Bears were playing the 49ers, you'll remember that Chris Tabor was the head coach on the sidelines for that game. Yes. When the Bears scored a touchdown, the fans chanted Fire Nagy
that time
as well. So,
yeah. Well, I'm sure the plans are being made behind the scenes at this point, right, Dirk? This is where you start to...
The mob is angry, my friends.
Yeah, the mob's angry. As an organization, I mean, if you've got a feeling that you're going to be making a change, what do, Yurk? I mean, you do have to start kind of getting your ducks in a row a little bit, right,
Yurk? You put the balls in motion behind the scenes to go ahead and put 2-3 guys on it. To sit down, make your little subcommittee to find all right, this is what we're looking, this is where we're heading. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to find out who some of the top candidates are. You go around the league to the top offenses if that's what you're looking for.
Sure.
Yeah. Top offenses, we need offense. We got an offensive genius that's not much of an offensive genius at all. And you figure out who's playing the best and who's the guys that are making the calls. Are these guys actually making the calls? If they are, them are the ones you put at the top of your list and say, okay, let's go to work. I don't think you can go to the Kansas City tree. Tried it, you failed. You got to go to another tree.
Yeah, I think
you
got to
go someplace else.
So they've had a couple of close calls each of the last 2 weeks. Lost them both with late drives where the defense just couldn't get a big stop. That drops them to 3-7. They obviously should, I think we've been talking about this, get to 4 wins this week against the Lions. After that, they're at home against the Cardinals. Kyler by then probably back, although it hasn't even, I mean, it didn't matter yesterday. The Seahawks are a mess, though.
Yeah, they're bad. But,
you know, you've got an Arizona team that is not going to be easy to beat. Then you've got to go to Green Bay. They still have 2 games against Minnesota. They have a trip to Seattle, and while the Seahawks are a mess, I don't know that the Bears are the kind of team capable to go in there and win. Maybe they are. But, I mean, you know, you're looking.
The Giants have all the motivation in the world to beat the Bears. Because if they beat the Bears, that makes their draft pick even better.
That's a great point. That's the penultimate game of the year. That's a great point. I mean, can you find 2 more wins? I guess the 2 more, maybe 3. I mean, we're talking about a 5 or a 6-win team here. I mean, that's it, right? Yeah, we're talking.
Not sexy, Carl.
Best case scenario, the Bears, what, finished 6-11? And I think they're going to have to make a coaching change.
Yeah, I didn't predict it at the beginning of the year. I thought 9-8, you know, and the games that they're losing now, the Pittsburgh game that they lost where they had the lead in this one, that's the difference between you being a contender or a pretender. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These 2 games, I mean, you're 5-5. You're in the playoff hunt. You're talking about, all right, listen, we got to find a way to beat Minnesota. We got to control our own destiny. If you can beat Minnesota twice, you put 2 losses in their column, that bodes well for you. Instead, we're not going to be talking about this. We're not going to be talking about it at all. We'll be talking about other teams in the NFL and, you know, other coaches in the NFL and who's ready. Is Eric Bieniemy ready? Again, I don't know if we can go to the Kansas City tree again, but Eric Bieniemy is a name that's been out there. You watched the Kansas City game this weekend. You saw him calling the plays. Andy Reid's got a sheet in front of him, but that's just to look up and down to see what's happening, what's going on. You know, if he wants to make a suggestion, I'm sure he can. But Bieniemy, for certain, is calling those plays.
I like the Travis Kelce touchdown. That was a cool play.
Yeah.
That game didn't materialize the way, certainly I thought, the way a lot of people thought, with a total of 56, and I thought it was going to be, you know, first team to 35. That wasn't the case at all. I mean, Amari Cooper got COVID, I guess, right? He couldn't play.
Right,
and then CeeDee got hurt.
Got busted up, and then
that
all
definitely,
of a sudden,
yeah. Yeah, it starts to take a toll a little bit. But their pass rush, when Clark and Jones are healthy, like, it is so much more ferocious. And we're not going to mistake that defense with the 85 Bears or anything. But,
no.
Man, they're so much more capable and competent when Jones and Clark are healthy.
You know what's funny is Yurko and I were discussing how when you get, you know, pressure up the middle before the show and how critical that is and how much more of a disruption that is. The fact that they've moved Chris Jones now back to the inside where he is a disruptive force.
Yeah.
Now that they've acquired Melvin Ingram in a trade, they have him on the edge now. They've kind of fallen in place with their defense.
Yeah, like it's been much better. But offensively, they still look a little off, don't they?
Yeah, not quite right. Not quite as potent. You know, saw some plays with Tyreek Hill where it seemed to me Tyreek Hill in the past is always hitting something downhill.
Always.
Yeah, where it looked like he was at maximum speed. The ball was delivered to him, and then boom, he was gone. I don't know if they're necessarily getting him the ball in the same manner that they used to get it to him in. So, but he's become the weapon, and once you become the weapon and the main target, then people are going to focus on you to make sure that you can't kill them and you can't go full speed on them. So
the Sunday night game was pretty thrilling last night, the way that thing went back and forth. I mean, that the Steelers came back and made that a game. That was, I think most people were probably ready to shut that one off last night, York, but that they came back and made it a game was fun. I thought that was a good game. So another good weekend, just not for our beloved Bears, but some individual performances around the league that were just fantastic. Eckler in that game last night. We've talked about Jonathan Taylor. I mean, 5 touchdowns. Come on. Look at the last 7-8 weeks now of Jonathan Taylor. Running backs don't really win MVP. The last one to do it was AED back in 2012 when Adrian Peterson won with that monster year where he had 2,000 yards. But like Yerk said, right, if he gets to 2,000 and he scores 20 touchdowns, and those numbers are very much right in sight here for Jonathan Taylor, he's going to have to get some consideration. And he's still 16-1 to win MVP.
Do you remember McCaffrey's season 2 years ago where he had 2,400 total yards and he had 20-some-odd touchdowns?
Yes.
And they didn't even bat an eyelash and didn't vote for Christian McCaffrey.
He did not win it.
I'm like, dude, if they, with that kind of season, you don't win it? I mean, what the hell are you supposed to do as a running back to get it? So,
well, his problem was, though, that year the team wasn't, like, overwhelmingly good. If the Colts come back and somehow, and I think it's in play now, they're three games back, but if they could jump the Titans and win that division,
right,
that's where I think he's got a realistic shot.
He's got 15 touchdowns already this season.
Yeah. That game that's going to haunt them is the way they blew. They had a 2-touchdown lead at home a couple of weeks ago to the Titans, and they blew that game. Remember, that's the one they lost in overtime?
Yes.
That's going to haunt them.
Sure, but you know what? I was talking about it last week with you, Carm, when we were playing good team, bad team in the NFL. The problem for the Titans is I had assumed they were going to beat the Texans.
That's true.
If they can't beat the Texans, you know, don't necessarily go ahead and count the Jags and the Texans again. Those are two games they should win, but you never know if you can't beat the Texans.
I mean, really. I want to try to see, like, do they, like they do in baseball, do they give you, like, a point total of how the MVP voting went? Because I wanted to see how McCaffrey did that.
No, so it's a straight one vote. And that's why the whole narrative of Russell Wilson never having received an MVP vote is kind of silly, because he's never been the best player in the league. All the other times, like, Patrick Mahomes was thrown 50 touchdown passes or whatever. Meanwhile, Christian McCaffrey that year, the Panthers went 5-11.
Right,
they went 5-11. In 2019,
that's
he had 2,392 yards and 19 touchdowns.
It is pretty unbelievable. Like, did he get any votes for MVP? I wonder. Like, I'd like to see that vote. That's what I was looking for. I don't know how readily available it is. Like, at baseball, because they do a vote system, you can go find it on Baseball Reference. I don't know. I'd love to see if he at least got a vote, because I have to imagine.
Yeah. Here's the crazy quirk. 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving. 1,387 and 1,005 yard receiving.
It's him, Marshall Faulk, and I think, did Roger Craig ever do it? There's only like two or three guys who may have done that.
Or he may have. Or like Thurman or somebody.
Well, Larry Centers is a name that comes to mind.
He never rushed for 1,000.
Yeah, but I don't think
I'm pretty sure it was Faulk, McCaffrey, and maybe Roger Craig.
That could be right. Those three certainly make sense. All right, let's, Yerk, should we grab some more calls before we get out of here?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, we'll do that. More of your Bears calls before we're out of here coming up next. This hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Collins and the Cats host DePaul, Illinois, Indiana, and more at Walsh Ryan this winter. Buy your tickets at nusports.com.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Don't remember to watch us today and every day on Twitch. Follow the show, join the chat, twitch.tv, or download the Twitch app, live from the First Midwest Bank State Street Studios. Yurko's down there. I'll be back in there on Wednesday. We will be on the air for you on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, breaking down Bears and Lions. I would imagine talking about a Bears win, but who the hell knows with this team. And all the games on Thanksgiving Day, three of them. The Bills will try to bounce back as they're playing on Thanksgiving night. It's the Raiders and the Cowboys. Both of those teams looking to bounce back. Boy, the Raiders season has gone sideways, as it normally does, but we kind of understand it a little bit more this year with all the distractions they've had surrounding that team. So a full three-pack of games on Thanksgiving for everybody's pleasure. And we officially can kick off the holiday season on Thursday, right, Mellor? Like, it's time on Thursday,
that's when
right?
it starts.
Yes, although I've already had it out with my wife.
I'm sure.
Her
and the fam, my two kids, are going to a ski camp this weekend. So she already presented me with, you know what? Pate and I are going to decorate the house on Wednesday before Thanksgiving because we won't be home this weekend.
But that's okay. But I kind of get that. Like, you know, and you're close enough.
They're going to decorate my house on Wednesday as if Santa Claus puked all over the place.
Yes.
And I'm going to have to spend Thanksgiving and the entire weekend with it all festive in my house.
So is it Austria or Switzerland for the kids this year?
Well, we alternate. It is 21, so it's an odd numbered year. So this is actually the year we go to the Swiss Alps.
Yeah. Okay, the Swiss Alps. Boy, I tell you, there's some challenging hills out there, my friend.
Funny. All right, let's go back out to the phones real quick.
All right, let's do it.
Out of here.
Let's go to Nick.
Oh, God.
Nick in Georgia. Welcome aboard, kid.
Yo, I got a question, y'all. Man, we've been the first winning season we had, it was back in 2018. Man, we need to fire him now. Fire him now, and then let Bill Lazor finish up the season, and then go and find somebody who knows how to produce a quarterback. Who is that going to be? Eric Bieniemy or Josh McDaniels? Or are we going to go defense? Which way?
I'd go offense, but I'm not married to, you know, find the best coach, I guess. I'd go offense.
Well, I mean, is Greg Roman, did you see enough out of Greg Roman? His second quarterback comes in and takes over and finds a way to win games.
Great resume. I think that's a good call. McDaniels, Bieniemy.
Kellen Moore down in Dallas.
Kellen Moore. What about Ryan Day?
Well, Ryan all day.
Ryan all day.
Boy, there are two games that were done by the end of the first quarter in college football slate this weekend.
The Ohio State
game was ridiculous.
I'd said on the odds couple, Mike and I talked about it. We said, this isn't a good matchup. We were happy for Mel Tucker, but we said, this isn't a good matchup for the Spartans' defense, the way Ohio State's offense has clicked here in the last 5 weeks or so. And we were right about that one. Yeah, that was a joke.
I will tell you, I've been reading Seth Wickersham's book about the Patriots dynasty. The more I'm reading it, though, the more I'm like open to the idea of if it's just a good head coach, if he's a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I agree.
Totally fine, because both Brady and Peyton Manning have talked about how a good defensive coordinator, if you have a good quarterback who understands what they're doing, can actually be more beneficial because they can teach you the structure of what defenses are trying to do to you. So if you have a smart quarterback, and hopefully Justin Fields is just that, the defensive coordinator may be a bigger benefit to him in the long run.
Could be. I see what you're saying. I would also like a coach that maybe can help make sure he develops properly. So just find the right quarterback coach then, or the right offensive coordinator if you're going to go defense. You got to make sure you hit on that guy because he has to help do everything he can to help Justin become as good as he could possibly become. All right, York, anybody else?
Yeah, we got Faye on the north side. Faye, welcome aboard, Faye.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Morning. Okay. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
You don't sound okay. You all right?
Well, the Bears lost.
You got a porcupine in your throat? Okay. Yeah, you sound like you're melancholy and sad somehow.
No, I'm tired. I'm baking and vaping and listening to you guys talk.
Baking
about
and vaping. I like that's a good combo.
I think so. I think so. Everything's coming out okay.
Good.
I'm just working on my pecan pie now. Potato pies and everything.
Talk to me, Faye. Oh, my God.
I love to cook, so I'm just tired, that's all.
But what's on your mind? Go ahead.
Huh?
What's on your mind?
It's been a while since I talked to you guys last, and I have a legitimate question. Who's going to pick a new coach? Who does that? Who fires Nagy? Who picks a new coach? And who are you looking at on a new coach?
Well, we just gave some names. As far as who's picking it, it depends on how much they're going to clean house, I guess. It could be Ryan Pace. People are saying, why would Ryan Pace get to hire his third coach? I don't think it would be his third coach. I think it'd be a second coach. I don't think Ryan Pace had one thing to do with John Fox's hiring, not one. I think it was above him. He was a very young, first-time general manager, and I don't think he picked that coach for whatever that's worth. Would I totally clean house? Yes, I would.
Lock, stock, and barrel.
I would. If Ryan Pace doesn't go, Ryan Pace is going to have a big say in finding the next coach.
Right. Looks like he'll be around for the long haul, too.
And we gave you some names. Faye, have a great Thanksgiving. We love you. Nothing says Thanksgiving in the holidays like sweet potato pie and pecan pie, by the way.
Oh, boy, stuffing for the good kid.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
My mom asked if I wanted some chicken soup. I said yes.
Carm, we buried the lead. Tiger Woods had a video over the weekend of hitting golf balls.
Let's talk about that tomorrow.
LeBron James is punching people in the face.
Too. Yeah, we'll spread it around a little bit more tomorrow. A lot of NFL always on Mondays. All right, everybody, have a great day. Thanks to Midway, Jeff Meller, J.R. Strauss, and Randy Merkin. And thanks for listening, calling, and participating today. Greeny's next. Waddle and Sylvie, they'll be all fired up at 2. Black and Abdallah later tonight. Everybody have a great day. We'll see you mañana. And Matt Nagy has the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present
today's final word. Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth. Today's final word. You had to have the last word on Carmen and Yuriko.
Justin has some ribs.
That was the final word on Carmen and Yuriko on ESPN 1000.